96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. So here's the question for tonight. What will happen to your stuff after you're gone? Your home, your money, your most valuable possessions. You can decide while you're still here if you have a will or even an advance directive, also known as a living will. I know a lot of folks don't like talking about this topic, but it's really important. And believe me, it can save your family a lot of headaches. Joining me to talk about this are attorneys Sean Bartley and Bobby Henry. They're here to answer your questions and help us understand the process. Give us a call if you have questions about advance directives, about living wills, about estate planning, where things go when you pass on. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR or follow us on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR. Okay, Bobby, Sean, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Harold.
Okay, sure. Let me first start with the living will or advance directive. What's the difference between an advance directive and a regular will, Sean?
The difference between an advance directive or living will and a regular will is the advance directive in the living will actually takes effect upon your physical incapacity or your hospitalization, usually towards the end of your life. And what the living will does is give specific directions on how you should be cared for should you not be able to make medical decisions for yourself. It can authorize an individual to assist you in making decisions. It can authorize that individual to inform the medical staff and or a doctor what care you should receive. And God forbid you go flatline. It also directs whether or not they should resuscitate you or should they let you pass away.
So that's what you fill out when you, for example, are going to have surgery, when you go into a hospital, they're going to put you under. But can you also have one of your own?
Yes, you can have one of your own, and I advise you to have one of your own and to conference with an attorney to make sure you get one of your own so you could specifically detail your treatment. The ones at the hospital are generic forms. They do allow for some specificity, but if you wait until you go to a hospital, you don't get an opportunity to be contemplative and to think out your decisions and what you want to do, especially with your loved ones who may have to make the decisions for you.
Bobby, are wills and estate planning the same thing, or are they six of one, half dozen of the other?
Are wills mm-hmm. and estate planning?
Yeah.
Will is a part of your estate planning. And when you talk about estate planning, you talk about the advance directive. You talk about the living will, which is sometimes used interchangeably. And then you talk about the will. Then you also talk about the power of attorney because, you know, and we're all probably around the same age as our parents
Speak
start to
yourself,
old.
Speak for yourself, but go ahead.
I think I'm 10 years left.
Okay, gentlemen. I got to bring a little levity in this very dark conversation. Go ahead, Bobby. No, you're right. We obviously, my parents both, both sets of parents are still living, as I always say, my father's alive and kicking, not kicking quite as high.
And there it is. When they stop kicking as high as they used to, they need a little help. Somebody needs to go to the bank. You have to have a document that allows you to go into their banking institution and transact business for them. I got a call just today from a family member out in Texas, and his particular father had been duped out of some $20,000.
Oh,
why? Because he's starting to slow down now, and he thought that he could still handle his stuff, but he was sitting in a lawyer's office there in Texas, and he was helping him with the power of attorney and a durable power of attorney for health care.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about estate planning, wills, what happens to your possessions, where do they go after you pass on. Of course, we have a pair of attorneys here ready to answer your questions. Let's go to Yvonne calling from Alexandria. Yvonne, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes. I have parents that are in their early 70s, and mm-hmm. they own property. They have bank accounts. But they don't have a will, and it's like every time my brother and I bring it up to this dimension of will, they get offended. So how do we go about having a conversation, a decent conversation, where they will really understand the implications of what would happen to their asset if they don't have a will?
Yvonne, thank you for your insight and input. And it's a familiar situation, especially in the African-American community. There's this myth that if you prepare for the inevitable, our death, that you will hasten the inevitable, our death. But we know that we're going to pass away regardless, and it's a tough conversation to have, but you need to have it with your parents. I think the best approach to them is to give them a scenario in which they might be familiar where somebody didn't have a will, i.e. the artist, formerly known as Prince, or Prince, mm-hmm. didn't have a will, and he's left behind a big mess where there's going to be a big fight and dispute over his property. You bring up that kind of scenario. Then you reference Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, who had a family full of people who might have a conflicting interest, he did the right thing. He had a trust document. He had a will. He left his mother in charge. And now, in his death, he's making more money in his legacy than he did while he was alive. And that's because he had the proper documents there. In Prince's situation, there's the possibility that his net worth might go down because there's going to be protracted litigation over how the property should be handled. So one of the things that you tell your mom and dad is that they worked hard for their legacy, that they shouldn't be offended, and if they intend to leave it for you and your siblings, they should do the right thing to pass on that legacy and ensure its fruitfulness in the future beyond their deaths.
So you live in Virginia, right, Yvonne?
Yes.
So, Bobby, what happens if, God forbid, something happens to her parents and there's no will? What happens to their possessions?
It's called passing by intestate succession, and that means, in essence, without a will. Normally, what will happen is it will pass to the children, and that's not a bad thing. It will pass to the children, but then the next step kicks in, and that is who should be the executor or the personal representative, the one who is controlling the process. Because there is no will, no one was designated. Now it's a race to the courthouse to determine who's going to be appointed. If the siblings get along, not a problem. You might say, well, if there are two of them, why can't they both serve? Well, you can have co-personal representatives. I don't recommend that. And as a matter of fact, when I draft documents, I tell people, don't make them co. You can have one as the personal representative and the alternate personal representative. Why? Because if you have two people, you always have three opinions. And you don't want your representatives fighting over what, in fact, should be done. But by and large, her parents are older. Should they pass on, most of everything will go somewhat the same way. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a bad thing if they don't have a will. But hear me now. I'm making a distinction. They should have a will, and I recommend that they have a will. But it's not like the state is going to come in and take all of their assets if, in fact, they don't have a will.
202, Yvonne, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you have a question about wills or estate planning, if you are in the process and don't know which way to go, or you're having to deal with power of attorney, if you're trying to get that squared away, give us a call. Our attorneys are here to give us a hand. Chico, calling from Silver Spring. What's on your mind, Chico? Chico, are you there?
What's going to happen to me when God calls me home, or if, like, my Social Security, or things I subscribe to, or what of my friends are going to say, or how am I going to be remembered?
That's a really interesting point. Anybody want to take that? He's mentioned a hodgepodge of things. What happens to his account? What should be said at his funeral? What should happen outside of the possessions, you know, after he passes on?
Well, Chico, thanks for your question. You can dictate whatever you want to occur after your death in your will. And you can make sure that it occurs by naming an executor or personal representative who you trust, who has shown to you in the past by their behavior and actions that they have the management skills, reputation, and responsibility to carry out your last wishes. You can write a requiem of sorts in your will where you write what you want to be played at your funeral, how the funeral should proceed, how much money should be allotted for your funeral, where you should be buried. You can pretty much dictate and lay out a funeral procession. I mean, in the past, there are famous conductors or individuals who detailed very specifically how their funeral should proceed, down to the items or articles of clothing and jewelry that they would wear in their caskets.
So you can just, as long as you write it down and put it in a will, you should be good to go.
You should be good to go, but there's always the instance where a personal representative might decide that they don't want to carry it out. And in that instance, I think it's good sometimes that more than one person have a copy of that will so that they make sure it's carried out. Sometimes it's also good to have an attorney named in your will that will assist and aid the personal representative in carrying out your last wishes.
Okay, thank you so much, Chico. Thank you for your question. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Valerie, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind, Valerie? Valerie, are you there? Valerie, give me a call back. Oh, sorry about that. You should listen to your phone, not your radio. But let me go to Lisa. Lisa, give what's on your mind?
Hi. My question was, if there's not an executor listed in the will, who is responsible for making sure that the will is carried out the way that it should be?
Well, if that particular clause is left out, and I actually happen to have a case like that where the clause was left out because the decedent literally copied another will and just left that particular provision out. Understand, a will has to be probated.
What does that mean?
That means it has to go to your local register of wills office. You file it, and then you open the actual estate. And then they take the will, they look at it, they see whether or not there's a personal representative / executor who has been designated. If one is not designated, then you can, in fact, petition to become appointed as the personal representative or the executor. That's what would happen.
Okay. Thank you so much for your phone call. I have a question about this. We often hear in pop culture and movies and even in the news that wills are contested. Now, if a will is written and it is indeed a legal document, how can somebody contest it? What is that?
As you know, we live in a litigious society.
Yeah.
And you can sue anybody for anything. And that is absolutely true. I have another case right now where there was a couple, and I can say this really, really quickly. There's a couple who lived together for some 30 years, and the never got married, but they lived together for 30 years. The gentleman passed first. He left a will. He literally took his will, put it on file prior to his death in the Register of Wills office and never change the will. It's called a caveat. That's what it's called if you're contesting a will. His children came back and filed a caveat against the will and said that's not his will.
Wow.
And he was the one that actually paid the $5 to register it and leave it in the Register of Wills office.
I want to find out what the outcome was to that. But I need to take a break. If you're on the phone, Joanne, Renee, Valerie, Glenn, please do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. And if you're trying to get through, please keep trying. I promise we are taking all of your phone calls even after 7:30. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a moment.